Reading from the book The Hidden Treasure of the Holy Dharma Nabadeep by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Hidden Treasure of the Holy Dharma Nabadeep. Transcendental Visions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as revealed in Nabadeep Dharma Mahatmya and Nabadeep Bhavataranga. With an introduction by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. Sri Nabadeep Dharma Mahatmya is translated by His Holiness Bhanuswami, and Sri Nabadeep Bhavataranga is translated by Anakudundabi Prabhu. Published by Ananta Printing and Publishing and Mandala Media Group for Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Nabadeep. Introduction. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the seventh Goswami, by His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in 1838 in a very famous Kayasta family bearing the title Dutta. In Calcutta there is a place called Hat Kola Dutta, which was named after the family. Near Binagar there was a big village named Ulla, and the family of the title Mushtaufi were landowners there. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mother came from this line. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born and brought up at Ulla, and he studied at Krishnanagar College. Of course, he had exceptional talent. He came into contact with the then-educated society. Especially there was a Mr. Duff, a Christian missionary who established the Scottish Church College. Duff was encouraging and attracting many of the young Bengalis of the time to take up Christianity. Gradually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had close association with the Brahmo Society, the so-called culturally advanced followers of Ram Mohan Roy. Maharshi Devendranath Thakur's elder brother, Dvijendranath, was his very intimate friend. For his livelihood, he accepted government service. He was posted at Orissa in the position of subdivisional officer. He was also posted as inspector of the Jagannath Puri temple, where his duty was to guard against corruption. At that time, he came into contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he tried to read it. He was gradually charmed by Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the life of Sri Chaitanya Dev. The Brahmo Association had expected much of him because of his scholarly nature. He could write and debate well. But after coming into contact with the Bhagavatam, he disassociated himself from them. When he was serving in Dinajpur, he gave his speech on Bhagavatam, and it was then that he completely separated himself from the Brahmo school, and he was seen to side with the Vaishnava school of thought in the line of Mahaprabhu. And gradually he also read the Shastras and wrote many books on Vaishnavism. After his retirement, he wanted to go to Vrindavan and pass the rest of his life there, but he repeatedly had a dream that he must discover the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Dev. He could not neglect that dream. He again entered into service at Krishnanagar, and there he consulted the records of the locality. With the help of those records, and by his divine inspiration, he discovered the birthplace at Yogapit, Mayapur. Then, with deepened interest, he visited the entire Nabadeepa Mandal, and with reference to the scriptures he gave a description of both the ancient and contemporary holy places in the Dharma of Mahaprabhu. He established a committee to ensure that the service of Mahaprabhu's place of advent continue. Lastly, he handed it over to our Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away, Srila Prabhupada arranged a condolence meeting in a public hall and invited many respectable gentlemen. Amongst them were the leading scholars of the time, including Bipin Pal, the then principal of the Metropolitan School, and Satish Sarkar, Panchkari, Bandopadhyay, and others. They all spoke very highly about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, recognizing that he gave new thought to the society at large. His writings were of original character, not stereotyped. His investigations into Vaishnavism excelled that of all the modern acharyas. Shishir Ghosh also once said, quote, "We have heard of the six Goswamis of the time of Mahaprabhu, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings prove that he holds the seventh position amongst the Goswamis. He has left us such extensive and original writing about the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Dev." Close quote. In this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur left the world his literature. He is in his literature, present forever. He has delivered his writings about the teachings of Mahaprabhu and Bhagavatam in a systematic and scientific way, suitable to the modern age. Our debt unto his holy feet has no end. Although Prabhupada, as suggested by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, took initiation from Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj, he still held Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his guru, substantially. Formally, by the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj as Gurudev. Bhaktivinoda Thakur selected Srila Gaurakishore for him, but from what we have found in him, he knew Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his guru from the internal consideration. We find his outside and inside was filled with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. Prabhupada inaugurated many mats, ashrams and temples, and we find that he named the deities Vinod Vilas, Vinod Rama, Vinod Ananda, Vinod Prana, and so on. He saw everything through his Gurudev, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His attempt to approach Sri Sri Radha Govinda or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inconceivable without Bhaktivinoda Thakur's intervention in him. I attempted to write something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I thought that this was the key to Prabhupada's affection towards me. His attention was drawn to me because I tried to give the greatness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's character to the public in a systematic way. It is my own feeling. He can give everything to one who is a little attached to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was his spirit. He thought himself indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's holy life, so much so that he saw Srimati Radharani and Gadadhar Pandit in him. This is the highest ideal of Guru Tattva. Gadadhar Pandit in Gaura Leela and Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela, in Madhura Rasa. He also once said, "If we raise our vision and observe, we shall find Srimati Radharani in Gurudev. If we raise our head a little and search, then we shall find that it is Srimati Radharani herself who is behind the function of Gurudev. All others are channels or instrumentals, but the real source of grace as Guru springs from the original source of service, of love." He saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that light. Sakshad harit vena samasta shastrir uktastadha bhavyatar eva sarbhi kintu prabho ya priya eva tasya vande guruho shri charanaravindam. Quote, "According to all the scriptures, Gurudev is directly the Lord himself, and the pure devotees also realize the same. He is actually a simultaneously one and different manifestation of the Lord, different in the sense that he is the Lord's dearmost servitor. I offer my obeisances unto the lotus feet of that divine master, Sri Gurudev." Close quote. We are asked to see Sri Gurudev not opaque but transparent. Transparent to such a degree that through him the highest end, the highest conception of service, can be seen and attained. We can attain it there. If we are earnest, we shall find the highest link from the very source. So we are requested not to see Guru as limited in his ordinary personification, but as the transparent mediator of the highest function in his line. We can see this only if our vision is deep. According to the disciple's depth of Shraddha, he will see the Lord present in his Gurudev. The Guru principle, Guru Tattva, is very special, very noble, very broad, and very deep. So we are warned against thinking that our Gurudev is in mortal relativity. Prabhupada showed us by his ideal conduct how much earnestness one may have for Gurudev. We have witnessed this in his practices and teachings. Gurvaika Nishtha, exclusive adherence to the service of Sri Guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was his very being. Everything was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur began the service of the Dharma and Mahaprabhu, he had to do many things to attract the public to accept his discovery of the Dharma as authentic. At that time, the place was uninhabited. Gradually, a brick building was made, and the worship of the deity of Mahaprabhu was begun. The temple came later. Generally, the Brahmana cooks he required would not stay there very long because it was an isolated place, and there were violent elements nearby. To ensure that the service continued, he had to undergo many undesirable things. For example, sometimes he had to prepare ganjika, hemp, by his own hand for the cook. Otherwise, the cook would have left. At times, when respectable persons came, he had to make arrangements for tobacco. There were many other trials. A devotee mentions, Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda also had a great vision for the world. Srila Guru Maharaj responds, Yes, he saw in his divine eye that Prema Dharma, the religion based on divine love, is so self-evident in character that the intelligent could never avoid embracing such a conception of pure religion as the highest. Love, Prema, the fine intellect cannot but detect the purity in the love in religion in its highest conception. His idea was, with an unbiased mind, the Western thinkers cannot but appreciate the doctrine of divine love as given out by Sri Chaitanya Dev. So I am sure that in the future many of the Western scholars will come under the flag of Sri Chaitanya Dev. This was his conviction, and he mentioned this in lectures that he delivered throughout Bengal. When Sripad Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj returned from preaching in England, he brought one Mr. Burchett back with him. A meeting was held at the Bagh Bazar mat. That meeting was presided over by a gentleman of the name Hiran Dutta, a good scholar and a theosophist. In his talk he said, When we were students at City College, Bhaktivinoda Thakur delivered a lecture there to the effect that in the near future Western scholars would come and join the Sankirtan under the banner of Mahaprabhu. Now clearly I can bear witness to the fact that his prediction is beginning to come true. I heard the lecture in my young days, and now in my old age I see the evidence. It is going to be true. I am very glad for that. Close quote. A devotee asks, Did your grace ever have the darshan of Thakur Bhaktivinoda? Srila Guru Maharaj? No, he left the world in 1914, and I joined the mission in 1926, 12 years later. Devotee, perhaps you met other persons who had his contact. Srila Guru Maharaj, there was one Parvat Maharaj who lived next door to Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he passed his old age in Godrum. Parvat Maharaj said that there was only a partition wall between his house and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. That was at Surubhi Kunj. From about 3 o'clock in the morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would rise and take the name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, at the top of his voice. Parvat Maharaj described it like this, as though calling someone from afar. With this spirit, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant the holy name. that Maharaj was astonished to see such behavior. There was a cement chair, and when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt tired, he took his seat and rested there a while. And then, after some time, he would again wander in the garden, chanting at the top of his voice, "Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!" With such animation in his voice he was calling a person with this spirit, and not in a formal way, but with an intense hankering, he was calling for the Lord. There was another thing I also heard about him from another source, Ram Gopal Vidyabhushan, an M.A. and barrister at law. Ram Gopal Vidyabhushan told me, "Once we went to visit him, we had heard that a government officer, an educated man, had become a Vaishnava Babaji. So we went to see him, and someone amongst us asked him, 'Please speak something about Krishna and Krishna Nama, the holy name of Krishna.' After a moment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then said, 'Oh, you want to hear something about Krishna? You want Krishna Nama?' Then the consequence of that inquiry had such an influence on his body and mind that, as it is written by him personally in his own poem, Sri Nama Mahatmya, "Chakshed Hara, from my eyes tears flowed. Dehe Garma, my body perspired. Muchitta Hoyla Mana, I fell into a faint. Kari Eta Upadrava, the holy name created a great turmoil in me. Chittevashe Sudhadrava, causing a rain of nectarine current in my heart. More Dare Premira Sagare, and casting me into the ocean of ecstasy of love. Kichuna Bujhite Dila Moreta Batula Koila. I could not feel the environment around me and became as though mad. Mora Chitta Vitta Sabahare. I lost myself in that thought." That gentleman, Ram Gopal Vidyabhushan, said, "I saw with my own eyes that all these symptoms were displayed in his body and mind, simply upon hearing our inquiry." Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "You are so fortunate, you have come to hear Krishna Nama from me. Krishna, Krishna." In this way he entered into another domain, and so many symptoms and expressions appeared in his body and mind, convulsions, tears, all these things. I heard this from an eyewitness. Devotee, is it true that prior to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance, the Vaishnava tradition had become very much neglected? Srila Guru Maharaj, very few Shuddha Vaishnavas were to be found just before the appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he adjusted religion in a modern garb, and so it was easy for many regardful students to come forward and accept Shuddha Vaishnavism. It had been much molested by pseudo-followers. The real ideal had become eclipsed, and so for the inquisitive it was difficult to have real entrance and real attachment for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The so-called Babajis were especially responsible for disturbing the ideal. They hailed from any caste, they could marry, and they simply went on taking the name with no proper practice or feeling of real earnestness for the truth. They dragged on their lives with no pure practices or pure habits, and worst of all, in the name of religion, they freely mixed with women. That brought in return a hatred for them in society. Similarly, those Goswamis, who took up initiating disciples as their trade, also lost their honor in the general respectful society, because they had some low association. The Babajis and Goswamis lost their prestige in society because of their imitative character. But Gaudiya Mat came out with the real spirit of religion, and pure practices subsequently followed. So the attention of the educated enquirers after truth was drawn to Gaudiya Mat, and they flocked together. Devotee, after hearing about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we feel ourselves to be very insignificant. Srila Guru Maharaj, yes, we can but do our might, contribute our might as much as possible for the service of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Second part of the introduction. The Eye to See the Holy Dharma by His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Rakok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. Devotee, we have heard that the nine islands of Navadvip represent the nine fundamental processes of devotional service. Srila Guru Maharaj, the holy Sri Navadvip Dharma is envisaged as a lotus flower. The center of the lotus is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and it represents Atma Nivedanam, or self-surrender. One has to first surrender, and then all the practices of devotion follows. The petals of the lotus represent Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, and Dasyam. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the Lord's feet, worship, prayer, and servitorship. Sakyam, friendship, is situated half on one side of the Ganges and half on the other. In this way, the nine islands of Navadvip are represented as a lotus flower embodying the nine standard practices of devotion. Devotee, Maharaj, I have a question. In the Navadvip Bhavataranga by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he seems to be having actual visions of pastimes of the Lord on the various islands of Navadvip. Yet he writes in such a way that he also seems to be aspiring for those visions. Is he actually having those visions? Srila Guru Maharaj, yes, of course. His vision is inspired. The Dharma has inspired these two perspectives in him. The Dharma allows us to see it according to the degree of our devotion. A doctor sees a patient according to his capacity. Higher intelligence can see deeper, such is the case always. A higher politician can see a higher strategy, and so on. A detector can see the depth afforded by its capacity. The X-ray can detect to a certain depth. The microscope has another dimension of utility. There is revelation according to one's capacity. Deserve and have. In an ordinary country there is a capital. The capital is where the existence and position of the king is more intense than in the general section of the country. Similarly, the Lord is everywhere, and his concentrated existence is found in the Dharma, or the holy abode. With fully developed vision, we can feel the special characteristic of the Dharma. We shall find his presence everywhere, but with particular intensity in the Dharma. With the awakening of our real eye, we should be able to feel and appreciate according to this criterion. There is no question of a Dharma for those who have no eye to see. There is also a hierarchy in the Dharma. All are in serving attitude, whether birds, beasts, worms, insects, everything, all are contributing to the reality. Their feeling of heart, their gesture, posture or movement, everything contributes exclusively to the pastimes of the Lord. Dharmera Svarupa Spuribe Nayane. In one song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur aspires for that pure vision of the Dharma. Otherwise, it may appear quite ordinary to us, like a jungle. The purity of the Ganges water is only perceived by those who have proper faith or Shraddha. Otherwise, to others' eyes, it is ordinary water. The same applies to the deity or Sri Murti. One may think that the Sri Murti of Lord Jagannath in Puri appears to be a somewhat awkward figure. His arms seem incomplete. His feet are not visible. His eyes are enormous. Yet Mahaprabhu stood before him for hours, shedding tears. No one could move him from that place. What did Mahaprabhu see in that figure, and what is he to our eyes? So, according to the depth of vision of our inner eye, we can come to that place of the Dharma, the deity, and the purifying Ganges water. Shadhamayo yam purushaha. Quote, "The nature of a person is modelled on faith." Close quote. Of what value is a mirror without an eye? In a looking glass we should find the reflection, but if the eye is absent, what will the subject see in the glass? So the eye to see, faith is necessary. According to the Shraddha, the specific character of the Dharma as distinct from all other places will come into view, disclosing its real form. Everything depends on Shraddha, faith. Thus ends the two parts of the introduction by Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj to the book The Hidden Treasure of the Holy Dharma Navadvipa.